Okay, again, this is Carrie Keller, Director of Career Employment Services at K-State. I welcome you all to our webinar this morning. This is, my goodness, some of you have been on these virtual meetings with us for several years now. This is maybe our fifth or sixth one that we have done. So this is a nice way for you to stay put in the comfort of your own office or home. And unfortunately, I guess you might say, we don't have any winter weather going on. We still need some moisture here in Manhattan, Kansas, but it's looking like it's going to be a beautiful, almost spring-like day today. So our agenda for today should be shown on your screen. And again, just as I get going on the agenda, I just want to remind you that as you have tuned in via your phone, please put your phone on mute. You can either do that using your own phone functionality or using *6. And as we continue to do some introductions, you can also use *6 to unmute your phone to say hello, which we will have an opportunity to do here in just a few minutes. So we're going to spend kind of our first half hour with some welcome and introductions of who's on our call today. Then I'll plan to share a few highlights from our past fall semester 2012. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's ahead for spring 2013 and have a special introduction of a campus guest for you. And then we will move into our webinar presentation, which will be presented this morning by Dan Schultz, who is a local colleague that we've been working with here in the Manhattan area. And he has, I think, got some interesting information to share with you about some of his experiences as a recruiter and innovator in the technology sector. And his presentation is Recruiting Beyond the Resume. And then we will wrap up after that. So we should be done about 12 noon Central, so you can move on to your lunch or catch up on all the emails that you may get during these couple of hours. So first of all, I want to try to show you a video that has just been recently released about K-State's 150th celebration that will be coming up this year and kicking off in mid-February. So I'm going to attempt to play this video, and I have to do a little wrangling here with my audio, but be patient with me, and I think I can get this to work. So this is an introduction of the K-State's 150th celebration.
Wildcats got their successful start. Kansas State University was America's first land-grant university to open its doors, creating a legacy of teaching, research, and outreach. We've had 150 years of campus spirit, record-breaking enrollment, athletic championships, research breakthroughs, and record-setting giving. We're proud of our rich K-State family history. To become a top 50 public research university. We're taking time to look back. Join us for a birthday bash February 14th through the 17th to celebrate generations of success.
So as you can see, some exciting things coming up for K-State this spring. Lots of things planned. Matter of fact, this is a website where you can go and see some of the kickoff weekend activities and a lot of really other interesting things that they are putting together for what I think will be a really wonderful K-State celebration, time of celebration. Let's see if I can go back to our slideshow now. And I'm assuming that my dear colleagues here in CES will tell me if anything's not working right. I'm trying to drive from my own my own office, and hope that you all are seeing things as planned. I'm going to move on to our next slide here. And so to kick things off with an introduction, since we do have so many folks on this call and webinar today, we're going to have to do very brief introductions. But I thought one of the things that might be kind of fun would be, since we are going to be celebrating our 150th year anniversary, since we can't think all the way back that far, I found it even to be a challenge to think about where I was even 150 days ago. So I wanted to put out, I'm going to try a poll. And so one of the things I'd like for you to see is that you should be seeing a webinar toolbar. And if this doesn't work, that's fine. I just thought this would be kind of fun to try. On your toolbar, I'm going to launch a poll, and there will be four questions, and let's see if I can manage this. I'm going to launch it right now. So the poll is open now for you to select where you were 150 days ago on approximately August 14th, 2012. And oh, this is so exciting. I see you all are, some of you are adding your responses, and it's looking like a lot of people were in the office. A few people enjoying a little vacation time. I'm going to wait for about another 30 seconds or so. But I thought maybe in the middle of August there might be some of you out enjoying a little more vacation time. But it looks like a lot of people were in the office. But that will help you get a little bit familiar with the webinar toolbar. I'm going to move on to our next slide here, which you may not be able to see easily on the screen, all our long list of participants today, but I will make this list available to you again after our webinar, so that if there are some other employers you would like to network with after this webinar, that you can do that. Because I'm hearing just a little bit of background noise, I just want to again remind folks that if you'll put your phone on mute or use star 6, then that will help us continue on with our webinar. And I am going to move on to the next slide here. And if we can, we are going to try to quickly go through a little bit of a roll call, I guess you would say. So even though I've given you such careful instructions about muting your phone, we're going to try to unmute as we do some introductions. And I'm just going to go down our list in alpha order by company and organization. So we'll see how this goes. But I'd like for you to say hello as I show your company logo on the screen, and we'll see who's joining us today. So first of all, we have representatives from Black & Veatch, and I think we have Justina and Shelley. Either of you on the phone with us? Not hearing them yet. I know Shelley was going to join us, so we will continue on. We should have Brett with BNSF on the phone with us. Brett?
Yeah, hi, Carrie. I'm on the phone today.
Super. Nice to visit with you. How are things there in Dallas? Are you in Dallas, I guess I should say?
Yeah, I'm in Fort Worth today. Everything's very nice today.
Good, good. Nice to have you on the phone with us.
Thank you.
Next we have Julie with Burns & Mac. Are you there, Julie? I know Julie was on earlier. All right, moving on, we have two representatives from Cargill, Laura and Heather. Are you on the phone today?
This is Heather, and I'm here. I don't think that Laura was able to call in.
Great.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Thanks for joining us, Heather.
Carrie, Jennifer McDonald's on the line with Cargill as well. I have to jump off kind of midway, but wanted to at least hear the beginning.
That's great. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm well, thank you. And
very good. Nice to have you with us. All right. And that is a good, if there are other folks that are joining us, please feel free to chime in from your organization as we go through this list. I think we have Kristen with Cerner.
Yes, good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Doing well, Kristen. Nice to have you on the phone with us. Next, we have Rick with Chevron Phillips. Rick, are you on the line with us?
I am here.
Terrific. One of our K-State alums that's been a great champion here on campus. We're glad to have you, Rick. Anybody else joining you this morning?
No, I'm it. Hey,
terrific.
Carrie, what should we be seeing on our screen right now?
Right now, you should be seeing an introductory poll slide, and we are looking at logos as I am kind of going through the roll call. So
all I'm seeing is still the quick poll.
Still seeing the quick poll. Maybe I can. I thank you for pointing that out. I think if I close that, now you can actually hopefully, now are you seeing the introductory poll with Kansas State University 150?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that with me. This is one of those times when I realize that I am not the multitasker that our current college generation is. And so running the toolbox and PowerPoint at the same time are sometimes a bit of a challenge to me. So thanks for sharing that. Next we have, let's see if I can get back here, Amy with ConAgra. Are you on the phone with us today? Okay, I haven't seen her yet. And next we have, I know Meredith was on the phone with us earlier from ConocoPhillips.
Yes, I'm still here and it's just me.
Very good. Nice to have you with us, Meredith. We have two representatives from a company that we have just been getting familiar with here on campus, the Corrections Corporation of America. Eric and Melanie, are you on the line with lines with us?
Yes, we're both on today, and this is Melanie. I am able to PowerPoint or the webinar. However, Erica and I are in separate locations, and she is unable to open it.
Oh, I do know that there are occasionally some problems with firewall access and so forth, so if you are having any trouble with the opening the webinar, I would invite you all to give us a call here in our office. It's 785-532-1691, and Sharon will do her best to try to problem solve with you. The other thing is that this morning I did send out our PowerPoint slides, and so I will try to guide us along through that as well in case you aren't able to log on to the webinar. Does that help?
That helps. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We have Brittany with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Brittany, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. You had an event yesterday. I guess out of Kansas City they had an event. Were you part of that as well?
No, I was not.
All right. Well, we had some of our staff joining your Kansas City folks, I believe, yesterday. So glad to have you on the line with us today.
Thank you.
We have a couple of representatives from Farmers Insurance, I think. Emily and Laura, are you on the line?
Laura is here. Emily wasn't able to make the call this morning.
Okay, very good. Welcome. We have with Garmin, Nikki, are you on the line? Not getting Nikki here yet, so we should see her maybe a little bit later. We have local representatives from GTM Sportswear, Mallory and Connie, are you all on the line with us?
This is Connie. I'm here. Mallory will be joining us shortly. So.
Great. Nice to have you, Connie. We have Stacy with Halliburton.
This is Stacy. I'm here.
Terrific. Nice to have you joining us, Stacy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We have some special guests from Intermark. Joyce, are you on the line with us this morning?
Yes, I am, and I have three colleagues on the line with me.
Terrific. Would you like to mention their names to us again?
We have Karen O'Connor, the President, CEO of Intermark, Donald Craig, Vice President of Military Operations, and Gloria Sharp, Human Resource Director.
Well, terrific. Thank you. We are glad to have you all joining us, and welcome. We have some representatives from John Deere. I know that Lindsay is going to be joining us maybe a little bit later, but Chad, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Nice to have you. We have a couple of representatives from Koch Industries, Clint and Jennifer.
Yep, my name's Corinne, and I'm actually filling in for Clint today.
Very good. Thanks for joining us. We have a couple of representatives from our local school districts, and I'm wondering if Larry is on the phone with USD 383. One of my favorite school districts, as my daughter should be there today. And maybe I'm glad that Larry is on the job taking care of everything. So we have Lynn from One Oak. Are you on the line with us, Lynn?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Terrific. Good morning. We have a couple of representatives from Perceptive Software, Christina and Lucy.
Yes, we are both here.
Terrific. Glad to have you all. And we should have Sam with Phillips 66. Are you on the phone, Sam?
Yes, I'm here today.
Great. Welcome. We have a representative from Seaboard Foods. David, are you on the line with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning and welcome. It's been exciting to see some of the food industry representatives that have been growing in their presence here at K-State. So we're glad to have you joining us as well.
Thank you.
We have a couple of representatives with longtime corporate partners and advocates of K-State. We have Brett and Pam with State Street. Are you on the line with us?
Good morning, Carrie. This is Pam.
Good morning, Pam. Hope you're doing well.
And I'm not sure if Brett is on yet, but I think he'll probably join us later.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us. We have a couple of representatives from our friends at Target. We have Matt with our local store here. Matt, you want to say hello? I know you were on earlier. And we also have Paul with our distribution center out of Topeka. Paul, are you joining us today?
I am, Carrie. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Nice to have you on the line with us. We have our newest corporate partner with CES, Union Pacific, and Jennifer, I believe you are now on the line with us.
I'm here.
Terrific. I'm glad we got our technology worked out for you this morning as well. And lastly, we may have a representative from one of our other local school districts, Bridget, with USD 475. Bridget, are you on the line with us?
I am on the line.
All right. Great. Nice to have you here. I know many of you joined us in person during the summer, and certainly that's a much easier way to facilitate our discussion, but I appreciate that you all have been able to join us this morning. And if you do continue to have any technical problems, as I said, Sharon Fritzen will try to assist you at the at our phone number 785-532-1691. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going through, and I will try to, if you're viewing the slides without the webinar, I'll try to keep you up to date with what we're viewing as we go along. I do also want to quickly introduce some of our K-State representatives that are joining us, and I think that's my next slide. Next slide showing our K-State attendees, which include a number of our Career and Employment Services staff, and you can, if you're viewing our webinar or viewing the PowerPoint, you can see their shining faces on this screen. And do you all want to quickly say hello? Maybe just shout out who's on the phone with us from Career and Employment Services.
Good morning and welcome. Leah Dunnage with Engineering.
And this is Allie Teagarden, Employer Relations Coordinator.
LaToya Fair.
I'm Anthony Wabara, Employer Relations Coordinator. I'm the one in the black shirt.
Danielle Brown, College of Technology and Aviation.
Angela Hayes, working with graduate students and alumni.
Dana Nordyke, working with Human Ecology and Architecture Planning and Design.
Jared Meitler, our Career Development Coordinator.
And I think that's it, isn't it, folks?
Of our career services.
And also joining us, and we'll have Richard Potter give a additional introduction here in just a few minutes. And I'm hoping that maybe Mitzi is on the line with us. Mitzi Richards with our K-State Foundation. Mitzi, are you on the line with us? I wasn't sure if she was going to be able to join us. I believe her travels this morning took her to Florida, if I remember correctly. So 150 days ago, we were also on the job, and that time in August meant we were prepping for another busy fall semester. And so if you all have not had a chance to visit the new Jardine apartments here at K-State, they are beautiful. And if you're able to see the slide that I have just activated, I've pointed out that 150 days ago we were meeting for our start of school retreat in the Jardine Tower, which is a beautiful facility here on campus, and was a great way for us to kick off the fall semester. Moving on to the next slide, we'll talk a little bit about some of the highlights from the fall 2012 semester. And again, I would welcome my Career and Employment Services staff to chime in with any additional comments as you might like to. But I did just want to share a few highlights, and I guess I should probably remind everybody that now that we are done with our introductions, you can put your phones back on mute, and I will try to keep an eye out for any questions that you submit online through the webinar, and try to keep kind of moving through our agenda this morning. But a few of the highlights from our fall semester, I think you'll see on this slide currently displayed about fall 2012 highlights that maybe not dramatically, but we did find again that our fall on-campus interviewing was up by about 20 employers and a couple hundred interviews that were conducted. In a few minutes, I'll recognize our corporate partners, but we've been so pleased and appreciate so much the support and involvement of this year 17 CES corporate partners, and your support and involvement really does make a difference in terms of our programs and services that we are able to offer to students. And we hope in return that your corporate brand and recognition is enhanced through your involvement as a corporate partner. The activations that you're seeing here, we had 7,662 activations last fall. This year it's slightly down at almost 7,000, but I These are students who have activated their online accounts with us, and so we're pretty much on track with where we typically are. We would attribute a little bit of this decrease probably to actually just starting our tracking a little bit later than usual. So typically by the end of the academic year, we will have activated over 10,000 K-State students and alumni who are able to access your on-campus interview schedules, your job listings, and see who's coming for career fairs. You'll also see that our job listings were up a little bit over the previous fall. We were, it looks like, in terms of full-time internships, part-time jobs, we listed a little over 3,700 job listings this last fall. I was surprised and had forgotten we were up this significantly for the All-University Career Fair this fall, but we were at 274. Many of you joined us in September for the All-University Career Fair at Bramlage, and our student participation was up a little bit again. Angela, I don't know if this is kind of putting you on the spot, but you were our chair of that event this last fall. Any comments you might like to make about our All-University Career Fair this last year or what's ahead for the coming year?
Just that it was wonderful to see our numbers go up. I thought things went very smoothly. We got lots of positive comments from employers and students, and I'm hoping that we'll be closer to 300. That's my goal.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your comments. Next item that's on here is we do keep track of the number of presentations that are CES staff are making in classrooms and open to our general student population here on campus. And this is a hardworking group of people. They were out last semester, I think, with over 200 presentations. And once again, that number is up to 238 presentations. This is how we are trying to get the word out about Career and Employment Services to our students across the university, and hopefully trying to educate them about their resume and interviewing skills so that when they present those skills in front of you all as employers, that they are looking a little bit more polished. Our participant numbers were down just a little bit. I haven't had a chance to track back through that. I do think that there are some larger classes that I know changed their formats this year, and so we may not have gotten in front of quite as many. Hearing just a little bit of feedback on the phone right now, so again, just would ask you to mute your phone if you are not on mute. And let's see, next slide here. This seems very unusual to me, but and I have no idea what has just happened here. Outlook thinks it wants to do something. So I will try to close that. I still find this quite hard to believe, but I have looked back through our data, and almost to the very number, we had 1,135 individual appointments with our students this last fall, and I still can't quite get over the fact I've looked at these numbers again. I thought, surely this is wrong, but there are different numbers in every semester, and I'll take a look at that again. But the point being here that we met with over 1,000 students individually, but what we also continue to see is our numbers growing for walk-ins. Our Walk-In Wednesday is a very popular service that we offer to students, and we were almost broke 600 students coming in for walk-in appointments. And another area we continue to see growing are our students' use of email in consulting with our staff about resumes. Career and Employment Services staff, anything else you would like to offer about your observations of students this last fall and what kinds of concerns or joys and they have been sharing with you?
Carrie, one thing I might jump in and mention just about the presentations that we give around campus, even though the participant numbers are down a bit, I would say that based on some of the presentations that I gave around campus, I think a lot of times the takeaway and the quality of those presentations goes up a little bit on the when the participant numbers are down, only because you often find that students are more willing to ask questions and be more receptive to the information in a smaller classroom environment. In addition to that, I'd say that I would personally attest to the fact that I saw more students' faces that I recognized from those smaller classrooms and given presentations than some of the larger ones. So I just wanted to mention that on the participation numbers.
That's great. That's very helpful, Jared. And Jared also helps coordinate, as he mentioned, is involved with a number of our presentations on campus, and in particular responds to students who are early in their career. So our freshmen, matter of fact, Jared in his role gets in front of parents when possible and promotes our services. So Jared helps us connect with student organizations and clubs and students especially who are early in their career. Any other comments from our CES staff? All right, I'm going to move on to a couple more mentions about the fall semester. I don't know if Jennifer's still on the line, but certainly I know, I hope Heather is on the line as well. I wanted to recognize Cargill for their involvement and support of our Backyard Barbecue 2012, another great event this last year. Served over 1,500, 2,000 hot dogs. We're actually able to, I believe, feature some of the brands of Cargill, and had a great turnout of students. It was really wonderful to have such great involvement of the Cargill representatives, and this is, you should be seeing on the screen right now, one of our employer representatives who was able to meet and greet with our students who came through in the first week of classes. We have this barbecue and offer, of course, free food to our new students to introduce them to CES services. And so it's been great to have their involvement. Jennifer, are you still on the line with us? I might just give you a chance, or Heather, to say a couple of words about your involvement if you're interested.
Sure. I think Jennifer dropped off.
Okay.
Before I speak, I just want to give her a chance. Since Jennifer did all of the coordination on this, it was really a great event for us, where we brought together the different business units that we support for and had great representation for many different majors of students that we're looking for. And like Carrie said, that we were able to work with our business units because they truly see the value of the relationship with K-State, and worked with us to provide a lot of the meat products that we offered. So it was a great kickoff, a great branding opportunity, and a fun event for our recruiters to start with.
Great. Thank you, Heather. Appreciate you sharing that. I've already mentioned, probably don't need to say too much more about the All-University Career Fair, but I did just want to share a few photos of some smiling faces from the All-University Career Fair. Again, another kind of rebounding after a couple of years of down attendance by our employers. We were not over our 300 kind of record-breaking number, but it was, as Angela said, great to see our numbers up in terms of employers and students, and representing a very wide range of different kinds of industries and opportunities for our students. Another thing that happened this last fall is, in addition to our employers coming to us, our staff made the effort to get out and reach out to employers beyond the Actually, even beyond our state borders, we in coordination with K-State's first football game at Texas Christian University as a new member of the Big 12, we made a special trip to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and this is a photo of our visit to our BNSF colleagues, and that was a great experience that we had. I'm going to turn it over to Allie, our employer relations coordinator, who put that trip together for us, and she'll share a few highlights from that. Allie, I'll let you take it from there.
Thanks, Carrie, and good morning, everyone. As Carrie mentioned, we had the opportunity to spend a few days in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, which continues to be an attractive place for our graduates to head for their employment post-graduation. So we were really excited to bring our staff down for a chance to visit with a couple of our employers. First of all, BNSF, who is one of our corporate partners, and we are certainly very grateful for Brett and our other friends at BNSF for hosting us for an excellent tour of their facilities. That day, we also had the opportunity to tour a newer employer to CES called MultiView, and they are a business-to-business internet marketing company that's doing some really exciting things out of the Dallas area. In addition to those site visits, we also hosted our first off-campus, out-of-state employer reception, and we had about 20 different employers attend that event, and we did a reverse career fair similar to the career fair that we had done at our summer employer advisory board meeting. If you were able to join us for that. So it was a really exciting time to share more about K-State to employers that may or may not have had a chance to come up to campus and recruit on our campus. So we were very excited to have that opportunity to spend a few days down there with some of our employer partners.
Shall I move to the next slide, Allie?
That'd be great. Thanks, Carrie. I also wanted to talk a little bit about some of our virtual outreach efforts. CES in the past 6 months or so has been trying to continue to ramp up our social media presence. So I'd encourage you all to like us on Facebook, K-State Career and Employment Services, and you can actually see our homepage up on the webinar today. So I'd encourage you to like us through your company accounts or your personal accounts. It's a great way to see the information that we're pushing out to students about events and career preparation, and we love to connect with employers on that as well. And then we've also been focusing a lot of effort on Twitter. If you did join us for the All University Career Fair in the fall, you may have seen our hashtag posters hung around Bramlage Coliseum. And so that was just a way for us to kind of build excitement on Twitter. We did a live tweeting approach during the career fair, updating on student attendance numbers, different exciting things that were going on throughout the day. So we're very excited to continue those efforts for our spring career fair events, which Anthony will talk with you a little bit more about on the next slide. But we definitely encourage you to follow us on Twitter. And if you're coming to a career fair or if you're going to be attending one of our other events throughout the spring, we'd encourage you to give us a shout out on Twitter. And that will just expand your audience as well through all of our followers on Twitter. And then one other thing that I wanted to mention as well is just some general marketing efforts from CES as well as the university in general. If you happen to go to a basketball game this year, you might notice our Hire a Wildcat signage down on the court. We're very excited. This is actually the second year that we've had that sign on the Bramlage court. So it will be right by Coach Weber where he's standing most of the time. So that's just a great way to kind of get our name in front of students as well as alumni and employers that may be in the audience at the basketball games. And then finally, I also wanted to share a video about a new marketing campaign that is university-wide. It's called the Wildcat Way, and they've created some excellent videos that were debuted at the Fiesta Bowl pep rally, and then they've also been pushing those out on the Kansas State University social media accounts as well. So you may see those kind of filtering around, but if you haven't had the opportunity to view them yet, we wanted to share one of those with you this morning.
Hello.
And we will see if I can get there now. This, of course, didn't work quite like I... Allie, are you seeing the video slide now? Okay, that's good. So I think for those of you that are K-State alums, you're going to love hearing this tune. Rousing rendition of the Wabash Cannonball, and you weren't able to hear it. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's just point out that this is that if you'd like to view this video, you can go to kstate.edu/wildcatway, and there are several great videos that are available on this website. This is going to be a fun K-State promotional opportunity, I think. Allie, anything else to add?
Just thank you to all of our employer visitors this morning. We're excited to talk with you throughout the day, and definitely let us know if there's anything else we can assist with throughout the year.
Terrific. Thank you. Anthony, we're going to move on to the next slide, which I hope you're seeing, about spring 2013.
Yep, it is up there, and we've got a load of events coming this spring. Already, in 2 weeks, we've got our first spring career fair, the Agri-Industry Career Fair, on January 30th. There's still time to register for that. The deadline for registering for that is August 15th, so you've got a little bit under a week. I'm sorry. I'm still in the fall. The deadline for that is January 15th. And then we're really excited about our engineering career fair. We've actually expanded that to 2 days on February 12th and 13th, with next day interviews following on the 13th and 14th. The day one registration is full. We only have 14 slots left on day two, and the registration deadline for that is January 29th. I'm growing up wrong dates, and I apologize. And then we get excited for our 150th anniversary kickoff celebration that weekend. There's a whole weekend of events, so if you are in the area, feel free to come down. It's 14th through the 17th. I believe Carol Barnett will be here on the 17th, giving a presentation at the Kane Auditorium. And then on February 27th, we will have our Business and Hospitality Career Fair. And January 16th, we still have an early bird registration deadline, so you can get in at a lower rate of $350 before the actual fee of $400 kicks in. The registration deadline for that is February 13th. We are running out of slots for that already, actually. We haven't even hit the early bird registration, with only about 15 non-hospitality slots left and only 17 hospitality slots as well. We have a very exciting opportunity with the Big 12 Black Student Government Career Fair. The Big 12 has some of the best Black student government groups in the nation, K-State proudly boasting one of the best in the Big 12. And this year, they are having a career fair. So this is a unique opportunity for employers to come to campus and visit with not just K-State students, but other students in Black student government that are at campuses at other Big 12 schools. And our office is not actually hosting that. However, we are working closely with them, and Allie is kind of our liaison for that. So if you would like a link to get more information, feel free to contact her at allet@k-state.edu. That's A-L-L-I-E-T at k-state.edu. She can send you a link and get you more information. We've got our education on-campus interviews on March 4th. The registration deadline for that is January 25th, and there's still plenty of room for that one if you are interested in that, as one of our educators that are on call. And then our design expo, we are still getting ready for that, and that is actually April 8th, with the registration deadline being March 25th, but we do have our early bird registration deadline set for March 1st to get in at $350 rate instead of a $400 charge. And those are all of our events. Carrie's got a link on there for you know, our breaks and all that fun stuff, so always keep that in mind when you're looking at coming to campus.
Terrific. Thanks, Anthony. I would say, again, it's a great opportunity for K-State to be hosting the Big 12 Black Student Government conference this year, and this is an event that does go to each of the Big 12 campuses, so this is a nice opportunity for that opportunity to be held here on the K-State campus this particular year. So do let us know if we can help you get connected to that. I'm going to the spring also kicks off our release of data and results from the hiring of the class of 2011 and 12. And so I wanted to very quickly share some information with you all as we are, well, we even haven't even literally released this information to the campus yet, so you're getting a little bit of a preview here. Based on our collection of data from the class of last year's graduates, 2011 and 12, this would include August, December 2011 graduates and our May 2012 graduates. Based on an 86% response rate, we are seeing that 71% of our students went on for employment, 21% went on for additional education, and much like last year, only about 6% were still seeking up to 6 months after graduation. The slide that I'm showing right now shows you some trends from the past 5-6 years, and you can see that our numbers for this year are very comparable to the previous year, but certainly are looking a little bit better than some tough years from 2008 and 9 till 2009 and 10. A couple of other things I thought you all might be interested in, as we also gather information about our salaries that our new grads are starting out with. I maybe controversially have displayed some of our salary data here by college, but I think it is important for you as employers to see where graduates out of our majors are, what they're coming out with in terms of their starting salaries. This information will be also accessible on our website after we release this to the campus, but you can see that the hiring in engineering is still very robust and does appear to be driving up some of our starting salaries for our students. Business, most of our students starting out over 40,000, and boy, out of agriculture, if you want to go into milling science, those graduates are in demand right now as well. But I did want to just mention that as you are benchmarking, and if you need information about where our students are starting in terms of their salaries, this is information we can help you get connected to. I also just wanted to mention, since many of you are joining us not only from the state of Kansas but across the nation, while we do still see that K-State graduates tend to stay pretty consistently within the state, and of course the state of Kansas likes to see that happen, but I know that many of you are recruiting our graduates throughout the country, and wanted to just let you know that while over 75% of our students tend to stay in the five-state area, we do continue to see this probably growing trend of more of our students considering some out-of-state locations, and Texas being our number one state outside of our region where our new graduates are going. Also, I wanted to share with you the top list of K-State employers. Want to point out this is based only on bachelor's degree hires. And also, I tend to put this list in alpha order, but I have released this list in order of the hires that were made in 2011 and 12. And so what you should be seeing on the screen is the list of top corporate employers for our class of 2011 and 12, our top school district hires, and our top nonprofit organizations that have hired our graduates. I would certainly say that those of you that are hiring our graduates at any level are very much appreciated. We know that we have a very long list of employers that are hiring one and two graduates a year, And that's really where the bulk of our graduates are going, are to those companies and organizations that are hiring one and two graduates. But I also did want to share this list of employers that also have a very strong presence hiring across multiple disciplines and pretty robustly out of single disciplines as well. In addition to that, as I said, would like to recognize the involvement of so many of our corporate partners in hiring, in helping train our students and helping them be prepared to engage with you all as potential employers. And on the screen right now, you should be seeing some of the logos of our CES corporate partners and a lovely picture of some of our representatives who were here this last summer for our face-to-face meeting. I'm glad to have again Union Pacific joining us as our newest corporate partner. And are there any of you that have been involved as corporate partners that would like to mention anything about your involvement or what you have gained as a result of being involved as a corporate partner? Well, I'm not hearing any quick testimonials there, so I'm going to move on, because one of the things about our own CES corporate partner effort is that we are trying to help you all engage with broader opportunities across the university. And one way that that is happening now is with the involvement of Richard Potter as Director of the Office of Corporate Engagement. And I wanted to give Richard an opportunity to say hello, and he is joining our Career and Employment Services staff here for our online meeting. Richard, would you like to say a few words?
Thanks, Carrie. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and also want to echo the thanks that to all of you for participating in this call. As Carrie mentioned, Kansas State is actively working to expand our corporate partnerships, both reaching out to new corporate partners, but also looking at the corporations that are already engaged with K-State in one form or another, and working with them to determine how might we expand that engagement. For instance, one of the projects that we're working on that Allie Teagarden and I have been working on is with Civic Plus. You might have noticed that Networks Plus, Civic Plus is one of the top employers on our campus. And we've had a series of meetings with them, and in fact, we've got another meeting coming up on Monday. And we've been talking with Civic Plus about some of the obstacles they're running into in terms of their corporate goals and objectives, and then looking at what are the assets that Kansas State University has to perhaps help them address those obstacles. And this is a great example of being able to broaden this across campus. We brought together a team of faculty and administrators that includes management information systems, data analytics, computer information systems, our psychology department, our communications department. There's three colleges and four departments involved, plus Career and Employment Services and our Leadership Studies program. And as I mentioned, we're working with, this team is working with Civic Plus to figure out where we might partner together. I'll be real frank, a big reason why K-State is doing this is because our state and federal tax revenues, particularly as a percentage of our total budget, is trending down, and at best we might hope that that might flatten out. But part of our motivation for looking to increase our partnerships with corporations is to help replace that revenue and to better educate our students in line with what you as employers need in your future workforce. Across the nation, corporate and university partnerships are on the rise, and deliverables have really become the norm for those. So what we're doing, what we're striving to do is listen to our corporate partners. What are your needs? What are the obstacles you're running into? And then working to identify what are the assets that K-State has that might help you address those needs, and then work together to agree on a mutually beneficial value proposition in terms of that. We want to focus on the long-term relationship over the short-term transaction. So the long-term relationship is really the focus of my work in our office. I will say that this is a new office. I just came on staff in June to establish the Office of Corporate Engagement, and most of my time over the last 7 or 8 months has been getting familiar with the assets that K-State has that may be of interest to corporate partners. But I've also been working with a growing number of corporate partners. For instance, Caterpillar has a branch in Wamego, about 15 miles east of Manhattan. And we've been working together since June. They've now got a senior project, engineering senior project that was conducted last fall. There's an MBA capstone project involvement with them this spring. They have regularly been hiring accounting interns from our College of Business, and we're working together to develop an internship in supply chain forecasting. And then our Department of Continuing Education is working with Caterpillar and with our local and regional community colleges to develop a 2+2 program geared toward employees of Caterpillar that are interested in continuing their education, particularly taking advantage of some of our online degree completion programs. Another corporation that we started working with is Milbank. They're a Kansas City manufacturer, and one of the innovative areas they're working in is related to alternative energy. They develop a product that can integrate alternative energy at a home. For instance, if someone has a solar power on their roof, a solar panel on their roof, or perhaps a wind generator, a small wind generator, how do you incorporate that with the power, the energy you get from the grid, from your local utility? And Milbank came to visit the Manhattan campus last week, and we've got a group of faculty that will go and tour their campus or tour their factory next week. The Hershey Company, their CEO, J.P. Bilbrey, is a Kansas State graduate, and he's working with our College of Business Professional Advantage Program. He's an executive mentor to one of our MBA students. And we've been engaging with them in both visits to Hershey as well as some video conference calls, particularly in research and development. And as many of you may know, K-State has some significant expertise in food science and food safety. A number of Hershey employees we learned are already engaged in one of our online completion degree programs, Masters in Food Science and Food Safety. And Hershey's also very interested in our Sensory Analysis Center. We've got an internationally renowned Sensory Analysis Center in terms of foods and fabrics and all kinds of whatever, you know, sight, touch, et cetera. And Hershey's planning to come to visit both our Olathe and our Manhattan campuses sometime in the first quarter. At our Salina campus, we've got one of the best unmanned aircraft systems programs in the nation. And there's a corporation that is working with the oil and gas industry and figuring out how can these unmanned aircraft, you might also know of them as drones, but there's a lot of commercial application possibilities with these. and this corporation is looking at utilizing this technology in terms of oil spill prevention, but also in the event of an oil spill, for instance, using unmanned aircraft or aircraft systems to determine where is that spill likely to go, so that the cleanup and the damage to the environment can be minimized. And then a final project that's pretty interesting that I've been working with a number of faculty on is the electrification of transportation. Black & Veatch has recently made a grant in support of some research that K-State is doing related to solar-powered electric vehicle charging stations. And so that, again, brings in a number of different departments, engineering, business, physics, chemistry, architecture planning and design. It's engaging all three campuses in terms of what we do, our campus here in Manhattan, our Salina campus, and our Olathe campus. Interesting note there, in terms of electric vehicles, we learned that Salina, the city of Salina, Kansas, has one of the highest concentrations of electric vehicles in the region. I can't tell you why yet. We don't know why. But just an interesting point, and again, an area of opportunity for innovation and certainly of interest to the nation in terms of alternative energy and reducing our reliance on oil exports.
Those are a lot of interesting topics that you're covering, Richard. I think I've heard technology, construction, alternative energy, chocolate, and unmanned aircraft all in the same
That's right.
15 minutes.
It's been these last 7 months have been great. I'm having a blast learning what's available at Kansas State and working with corporations to figure out how we can partner together to create jobs, to reduce dependence on foreign oil, to increase alternative energy, to make better chocolate.
It's exciting. Well, thank you, Richard. I appreciate you joining us today. And again, on the screen right now, you should be seeing the webpage for corporate engagement. And so that is a very informative, helpful website where you can go and get connected with Richard and see some of the other resources that are available on campus. I'm going to move on to our featured presentation for today. We have Dan Schultz. As actually Richard mentioned, we have been working with the company that Dan has been associated with, Networks Plus and Civics Plus here in the Manhattan area, and have gotten to know Dan, and I think he's got some great information to share with you about his experience recruiting in some of the industry areas that many of you are also recruiting in, and his experience working specifically with K-State. And Dan, as we planned earlier, I had a nice little handoff to you, and it may not be as swift as that. So would you like to do an introduction of yourself while I do the handoff here?
Sure, absolutely. My name is Dan Schultz. I work for Icon Enterprises. We're located here in Manhattan, Kansas. You may have noticed on the top employers list, we're number 13. Actually, Icon Enterprises is the mothership, if you will, for Civic Plus and Networks Plus and the Hidden Job, among other interesting entrepreneurial ventures. You know, we certainly, Richard touched on it in his talk, we are absolutely thrilled with the partnership that we have with K-State. In fact, I think over 70% of our employers are K-State grads. So we really are infused with, we bleed purple, I mean, literally. It's awesome, you know. I think there might be a few people from KU, but we haven't really figured out who they are yet. But most of them are from K-State. But, so my name's Dan, and I'm excited to be here today to talk to you about what I love, and that's talent acquisition. So I think at this point, I might be able to show my screen. Hey, look at that, Carrie. That was a seamless transition.
Was that just beautiful?
That was amazing.
Good.
Just like we practiced, right?
Good.
All right. Can everybody see my screen that's doing the webinar today? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Everybody's good?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I might minimize. Okay. So before we get started, I just wanted to share a quick excerpt from a Bloomberg article I was reading yesterday discussing the idea of recruiting for culture fit. It was actually an article that was published last week. The article goes on to say that job interviews are becoming more like first dates. The employment site Glassdoor has collected over 285,000 questions asked by hiring managers, and the following four rank among 2012's 50 most common. Though they have little to do with work, here are the four. Number one, what's your favorite movie? Number two, what's your favorite website? Number three, what's the last book you read for fun? Number four, what makes you uncomfortable? Over the last couple of years, spokesman Scott Dabrowski of Glassdoor.com says the site has found a significant rise in questions asked about cultural fit. The reason why I bring this up is I think this is important to keep in mind when we look at the next couple slides that show some statistics about the current talent supply chain. The first thing we're going to look at here, just being realistic, this was actually information sourced recently, and is across industry and across segment. A lot of business leaders don't feel satisfied with their access to talent. And the reason why I bring that up is just to kind of talk back to what we've talked about before. I think a lot of recruiting and organizations are looking more at finding talent that's a good fit for their culture as well as has the skills to be successful. The next slide I want to talk to you a little bit about is this percentage of employers having difficulty filling jobs. The Manpower Group, excellent source for recruiting data, by the way. If you ever have an interest in looking at the aggregate recruiting or supply chain data, the Manpower Group's wonderful for this information. But what they're saying here is about half of our employers are still having difficulty filling their jobs. And actually, it's the highest percentage reported in the last 6 years. So that brings me to kind of the heart of what we're going to be talking today. So throughout my career, first as a tactical independent contractor, working at an agency as a recruiter, working with many organizations across their executive levels, mostly technical, but also working in various sales functions as well. And the thing that I found was that I really think you can surmise that you can simplify the decision calculus of a candidate's fit with your organization into these five key buckets. First, workplace preferences. Second, the critical mix, as I call it. Third, motivations for change, external inspirations, and geographic interests. So let's first talk about the workplace preferences. So what you're going to see on the screen are going to be four spectrums that we use internally at Icon Enterprises to kind of look at not only what the workplace culture is of the specific job, but also of the candidates that are coming in applying for the job. This type of information, this type of methodology is actually inspired by research conducted by Jennifer Chapman at Northwestern University. She does a wonderful job talking about the person-organization fit and various models you can use and apply in your own workplace. One actual question I forgot to put up here that's really important is Star Trek versus Star Wars. Seriously, people, this is a really important thing. I'm telling you. We've actually had teams within our software development where we had square offs. You know, the Star Trek team was over here and the Star Wars team was over there. I'm serious. This is important stuff. The point being is that the unique workplace culture of your teams really matters to the success of that overall team. So finding candidates that fit that is really essential. And the next thing, and I think this is pretty interesting stuff, when we're talking to candidates about our organizations, Chapman finds that we need to find ways of characterizing not only words that mean something to us as people, but also something that means something significant to the organization. So finding those magic words that you can correlate not only from a personal standpoint, but also from an organizational standpoint, will bring more explosive understanding on how well this person fits your organization. I think this is pretty logical. People tend to be happier when they're in settings that meet their particular needs. I don't know if you guys had people in your life growing up that said, you know, if you to love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life. I think that's amazing advice. You know, one interesting story surrounding this idea happens at the online retailer Zappos. They offer new employees who are struggling $4,000 to quit after a week's work rather than waste resources to train someone who doesn't gel with the group. Another interesting example, San Juan's chain Preda manager even goes so far as to have potential employees work for one day, after which they're either voted in or out by the existing team. So it's Survivor Island for the workplace, really, people.
Wow.
Applicants who don't get along with others are paid for their time and asked to leave. And I think from what I'm seeing in the research and within the large macro kind of environment, these types of policies and practices are becoming more present, because team fit is so important in the workplace. So this is, we're going to have a quick pause so you guys can stand up or answer a phone call or take an email, but I sure love you to discuss how do you define your unique workplace preferences for your open job requisitions. Do we have any brave callers on the line that want to tell us something unique about how they define their unique workplace?
And you know, Dan, I'm able to manage the chat feature a little bit better now since you are presenting. And so if anybody has any questions they want to submit over the chat, I can convey those to Dan as well.
Awesome. Yeah, so you know, just to kind of tell a quick story here, you know, for our workplace preferences, we really do a deep dig in terms of what the team's preferences are for the open rec. So we really try to get to the heart of, you know, what makes this team tick. And so we ask a lot of those questions that, you know, we talked about at the front that don't seem like work questions, but really kind of help us understand, you know, the professional DNA of our teams within our organization. So we'll go ahead and move on. Let's go ahead to the second piece of the five buckets, which I call the critical mix. I think this is a really interesting quote from Diana O'Brien, the managing principal of Deloitte University. I think the key here is that, you know, she's talking about the three E's, education, experiences, and exposure. I think the critical mix may be the hardest of the five buckets to keep tabs on, with so many business needs and skills evolving so quickly right now. You know, for instance, at ICON, we had to create a program that scans LinkedIn as well as job descriptions on the marketplace within similar industries so we can have a tab on the supply chain market so we know what other folks are looking for in terms of their skills needed. So we map out the skills and the talent supply in order to have a better understanding of the aggregate supply, much like you would do with, you know, other resources that you need for your organization. So the critical mix changes, and it's important to keep tabs on exactly what that critical mix is for your organization. Once again, if anybody wants to, you know, present a question or a comment on how is the critical mix defined within your organization, Carrie can handle that and let me know. We're going to go ahead and move on. So the third bucket that I'd like to talk about here is the motivations for change. Lou Adler does a fantastic job about talking through this idea of motivations for change. Really, it boils down to two strategies. There's a going away strategy and a going towards strategy. When I was at the agency, our managing principal came into my cubicle and she said to me, "Dan, every candidate that you speak to, there's one thing you have to find out." And I said, "Okay, what's that? This sounds interesting. I probably need to know this." And she said, "You need to know if they love us or if they're leaving somebody they didn't love." And I'm just like, "Well, what do you mean about that?" And she said, "You know, Dan, we got to make sure that our candidates have the purest of motivations going to a job, but they're not actually leaving somewhere because, you know, they just want to get away." I think this is really interesting stuff, and it's actually been really resourceful for me in my career to really define these things. And I'm going to give you a checklist on the next slide that's going to help you do this even better. So this is something that I use when I'm recruiting on a daily basis. You know, the best application of this checklist is after the candidate has gone through your company process, has interviewed with some people, and starting to learn the job pretty, you know, they're learning about what their role looks like. So typically what I would do is right before the offer, I would go through this checklist with the candidate, just as a final thermostat check to make sure that they have the right motivations to join our team. Just personal opinion, but from my experience, the quality of hire and length of service tend to be much better with candidates that display a pure going toward strategy. So I figured we'd have a little comic relief now. What are some of the wildest motivations for change you've ever heard? All right, once again, I guess I'll be the storyteller. So the wildest one that I've heard, this is kind of funny. So I was doing some work for a auto dealership in Las Vegas, and they were looking for a general manager. So we were doing a lot of sourcing, a lot of candidate screening, and so I was talking to one candidate, I was asking him, you know, about his interest in this position and, you know, why he wanted to apply for it. And he had, you know, had some gaps in employment and looked like he was a car salesman earlier in his career. And he told me, he goes, Dan, the Las Vegas authorities will no longer let me do my strolling. I'm going to have to find something else to do. I said, strolling? I go, what do you mean strolling? And he said, well, you don't know what public strolling is? And I said, no, I don't know what that is. He goes, well, it's, you know, sidewalk magic. You know, when people are eating in restaurants or they're walking down the strip, I come and I do a magic trick for them, and they pay me. But the authorities are no longer interested in me doing this anymore. And I'm like, okay, this is really interesting. You know, I'm thinking, this is kind of wild. Then he takes me to a YouTube video of about a 45-minute strolling presentation. Albeit he was a good magician, we didn't end up going with him for the GM slot, but it's kind of the wildest motivation of change I've ever heard. So the point being is that, you know, I think people have a lot of reasons for looking for jobs or going towards or going away from jobs. It's really important for you to understand that very clearly. So the fourth bucket that I'd like to talk about very quickly is the external inspirations. You know, what do your employees think about when they're on the proverbial backyard swing set? What do they imagine about as if they were children and without limitations? I believe this fourth category is as important as any of the other five when evaluating talent. Let me run a little further with this one. One of the little tricks I learned early on in my career is that if I could match a candidate with the organization's culture, critical mix, they had the right motivations for change, they weren't a stroller, and they understood the location, I figured this was a pretty solid candidate submission. But if I would work just a little bit harder in my recruiting efforts, and I can uncover a candidate that also had a passion about the same things the company or potential team cared about, then I had a slam dunk. When you can align a candidate's passions with the company's products or the team's passions, and they possess the other four buckets, that's really kind of the slam dunk candidate. This can be tough to define internally, but it's possible. At Civic Plus, we conduct quarterly innovation teams to see what our staff is dreaming about. This becomes unbelievable recruiting materials to tell prospective candidates about. We had a team that did something with green engineering. We had another team that was looking at project management software. We had a team that developed an ERP system. We had a team that developed a matching algorithm for career fairs. I don't know who that was, but but the point being is that these innovation teams really allow us to take a quick survey of what our employees are really dreaming about outside their day-to-day. And that kind of stuff is just unbelievable material when you begin to recruit other A players to your organization. Once again, Carrie, have we got any action on the chat line, or does anybody have any ideas here that they would like to talk about in terms of inspiring innovation within your companies?
I'm not seeing any questions or anything submitted via the GoToWebinar toolbox, but again, if any of you do have a question that you'd like to submit, I will keep looking over this. And if you would like to join in the conversation, you of course can unmute your phone and offer some insights. I'd be very interested to hear what some of you all are thinking about in relationship to these questions.
Can I just ask a general question to the audience? How many employers in the audience, or would anybody care to share, who also engages their employee base in you know, innovation teams or tiger teams or one-off projects that may not be directly linked to their day-to-day, or even the you know, core competencies of the organization? Are there any other companies on the call today that do these types of practices?
Dan, I know that Clint Ohl from Coke has his hand up on our webinar. Clint, are you able to join in? Are you there, Clint? Oh, we're not able to hear him. I did also get another question. Laura Riffle has mentioned that they do innovation tournaments on a quarterly basis.
Fantastic. That's a great idea. Yeah, absolutely. Is it like a 48-hour thing where everybody kind of gets into a hotel lobby and works out a challenge like a hackathon or a lean agile startup experiment? Or
yeah, this is Laura. So what we do is we basically have employees from different departments all come together and they spend a couple days away from their normal job duties and just in a conference room where they can, you know, dream up anything and everything, and then we kind of work that down to, you know, stuff we can actually work with or take some of those ideas and move those to something, you know, start with what they came up with and transpires into something we can actually utilize. And then they actually go back and develop it, you know, over the next couple months and then present to some of our higher levels of management. So it's a great way for them to come up with things that will work, but also just get their name out there and network with some of the other people in different departments and our upper levels of management.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that story. I appreciate it.
And Laura, why do you think that's important? Why is that important for your particular employees?
Yeah, I think it's really great because we are in a pretty heavy production environment here, so for them to actually be allowed time to be off of their normal duty and really take time to focus on it, it's huge. It really changes our work processes, and they're the most familiar with what we do on a daily basis. Also, we're very dependent on technology changes, and it can really change what we do on a day-to-day basis and take us to the next level. So it gets some people in there with different skills, different backgrounds, and really lets their brains just go crazy. So,
awesome. Do you happen to keep kind of a historical record of these innovation teams so that you can kind of utilize that in recruiting potentially? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we actually at one point actually had someone who was their position was kind of to lead the tournaments and keep track of everything going on and the development of the ideas as they went forward. We also have an idea blog site that people can get on from the company. So maybe they're not in a tournament, but they have an idea and they can post it and post their idea, you know, information around that process or how that idea works. And then other people can comment, you know, like it or say, you know, I see this one concern, but what if we did this? This would help it work. And it's really a great way to reach everyone. You know, if someone doesn't want to stand up and present in a room, but they can still provide input on a blog, you know, that's out there too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of fun too.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Does anybody else have any innovation practices within your company that you'd like to share as a best practice with us today? All right, well, if anybody has another idea, definitely at any point raise your hand and we'll get that idea out there. So the next thing I want to talk about is the fifth and final bucket. Let's make sure I can count today. Yeah, one, two, three, four. Okay, yes, the fifth and final bucket, the geographic interests. You know, I think this is one of the most interesting buckets that I used to have a lot of fun with when recruiting for the agency. I used to really, really look at the passion and the knowledge the candidate had for the location that they were either living in currently or moving to for a job. you know, a lot of times you'll find people that, you know, they may live in a community, but their eye is on moving somewhere else. And so it's really interesting to kind of talk about with someone why they love the community that they're in. So I used to use this little assignment to kind of understand exactly what the level of interest and how far a candidate may go to really understand where they may be moving to. I think this could be a really interesting activity for students potentially that are, you know, relocating to Dallas per se. You know, ask them, hey, what do you love about Dallas? I actually asked a candidate to give me a report about what they loved about Cleveland, Ohio. And he actually went out and shot a YouTube video. It was about 45 minutes long. And it was, to this day, the most awesome assignment that I've ever given, I think, as a recruiter, because I was actually able to take that YouTube video, attach it to his resume, and send it off to the client. The client immediately loved him. They knew that he did his research and that he was really passionate about that, the fact he was going to Cleveland. He was a huge Browns fan. He had family in the area. These are all things that I really didn't know. I just thought, hey, let's see if he knows anything about Cleveland. And it turns out that, you know, that really helped associate his fit even further with the company. Okay, so we've talked about really five key topics when you're looking at a candidate's fit. So, you know, these things can be tough to objectively measure. So it's tough to find and develop systems that can quantify this hiring model that then you can then apply in a repeatable lean process. So I'm curious if there would be anybody in the audience that would like to kind of share with us how they quantify their hiring model, how they create a decision calculus for who they should hire out of an applicant pool. I have an idea about this, so I'll go ahead and move on. Just a quick recap. In my world, candidates have a professional DNA, and that consists of workplace preferences, the critical mix, motivations for change, external inspirations, and geographic interest. The next slide that I'm going to show you is an algorithm. This is a very simple algorithm. This is Euclid's flowchart. This is one of the very first kind of simple algorithms. The reason why I put this on here is not to have people actually jump off the webinar and end their phone call, is actually to show them there's a very simple model that exists out there for decision calculus. And so if you can theorize the workplace or the candidate inputs that are necessary for your organization, you too can build a model like this that gives you a decision. It does take a little bit of manipulation and application, but the idea that I'm trying to talk about here is the fact that using objective models, there is a way to quantify your hiring benchmark and therefore use a repeatable lean process in hiring the people you need to lead you and your organization into tomorrow. You know, there's another interesting point that I want to make here. Randy Haynes, he's the managing partner of Atlanta Bell's Oaks Executive Search. I'm just going to read a quick quote from him, and I just want us to keep looking at this model. It's probably human nature to generally like to hire people who like us. It's probably human nature to generally like to hire people who look like us. Second, like us. Third, act like us. But you get a culture of sameness. People lack an understanding of how to go out and recruit for diversity of thought. Those people who break the rules but are great for the company. And an eBay or a Google will hire those intellectual guys or gals who won't fit into most Fortune 500 companies, whereas at other companies will hire, they may just hire a guy or gal because he fits in perfectly, not realizing that he's not going to move the needle, not even a little bit. I believe this is a very critical point to consider today. When we don't objectively measure candidates as they're coming in at point of initial application, I believe that we run into this risk that Randy is talking about from Bell Oaks Executive Search, that we begin to hire people that look, talk, and act like us. Interesting note here is when I was at Talent 42, which is a conference in Seattle, Washington, specifically to look at technical talent sourcing techniques, there was a key engineering manager from Google that gave a presentation, and he showed a graph. And on this graph, he correlated productivity with actual interview scoring that other managers had scored the candidates as they were interviewing. There was absolute no correlation between how the candidates scored in interviews and their actual productivity metric. And the point that I'm trying to make there, again, is that it's good to interview people and learn about people and get a sense of who they are and what their professional DNA is. But if you can objectively quantify your hiring benchmark, it's going to give you a greater probability of making the right choice in the end. So, you know, once we create the hiring benchmark, what are we going to do? My argument is that we should automate the analysis. After the position is clearly defined and benchmarked, analyze every candidate for that position with the same lens, same questions, same weights, and most importantly, stay disciplined. Build, measure, and learn. Now, these types of principles are derived from the Lean Startup. I had the fortune of meeting Eric in San Francisco last month at a Lean Startup conference. And, you know, the principles of this movement are, you know, to test and experiment every assumption that you have. And I take that one step further and apply that to recruiting. What you may think may be the right perfect fit of those five buckets, test it. And then measure the productivity of those candidates as they're continuing on with your company. And if you find that there may be delta ahead of you and using a different mix, then pivot and find the mix that works best for your organization. If your process isn't repeatable, it's going to be tough to implement controls needed for measurable experimentation. So keeping a repeatable, measured process is really important. Okay, so I guess this is soapbox time, so I'm going to go ahead and say a few things in the grand finale. You know, piggybacking on what I just mentioned about automating your screening process to be repeatable so that you can quantify the differences between candidates, can you imagine having a boilerplate for an executive where you say, well, due to our hiring benchmark model, well, you can see his candidate A actually is a 20%, he's going to have a 20% probability of increasing his productivity metric, whereas candidate B is only going to have a 15%. Probability of increasing this productivity metric. I think that kind of stuff would be really awesome for us to be able to tell our hiring managers. Unfortunately, more often than not, we come out of an interview and we're working with, I kind of like him, or I kind of like her, or I didn't really get a good vibe about this one. Unfortunately, those types of subjective decision-making calculus are causing issues within recruiting for the right person that's going to drive your business. So don't believe in magic pixie dust. You know, believe in your processes and believe in your positions as if they were recipes, and utilize lean engineering techniques to standardize the analysis of every candidate as automated as possible. So here's what I'm working on. Here's my problem hypothesis. Here's what I think about every day. The resume is only one ingredient and can provide a great jumping off point, but what if, in addition to a resume, there was a way to identify the probability of success within your candidate pool at point of initial application? So I'm really, you know, thinking hard about this problem. So if anybody has any ideas or would like to just network with me about this afterwards, I would love to talk to you. This is something I'm very passionate about. So thanks again for this most honorable opportunity to be your featured speaker today. Please don't hesitate to contact me about information in this presentation or about the hiring benchmark models we currently use at ICON. I'd also just like to take another moment to really take a quick minute to acknowledge how simply amazing Carrie and her team are here at K-State. Over the last couple of months, I've really enjoyed their innovative energy and unbelievable hospitality. Civic Plus is a dedicated partner to K-State, and it's something that we hang our hat on every day. So thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it, and I look forward to maybe networking with you after this presentation. Carrie, we do have time for questions if there are any in the crowd.
I am not seeing any that have been submitted over our toolbox, but I do appreciate, Dan, that you're showing your contact information there as we conclude the presentation portion of our meeting. Does anybody have any other questions they'd like to offer?
This is David with Seaboard.
Yes, David.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. It's been a quiet group.
It has been a quiet group. This is a little bit more challenging to facilitate discussion over such a large online group, but I appreciate you speaking up.
Oh, yes,
what's your
definitely.
Question?
I'm trying to jot a bunch of notes down and a lot of ideas that come to mind. But
I think that's what I'm feeling as well.
Really hits home on the know and define the job, and that's you got to go to the hiring manager we found out and help them understand what they need. They'll tell you what they think they need, but once you can get that defined and understand the skills, behavioral skills, fit for the team, work environment, et cetera, makes it, and then coupled with some objective data, and then, you know, we found there's no, you got to have that information before you go on that one-on-one face-to-face interview. There's no way avoiding that. You've got to challenge or charge into that to really get to know what you want to know about a potential player on your team. So that's my two cents from the.
Yes, and how does match of the organization play into your hiring needs and your hiring process? I mean, even if you can find the right match of skills to a position, what's it mean for the applicant to match with your company culture?
Yeah, a tough question. I think we pretty much know what our culture is, and we help define and interact through probably not very, we're pretty laid back, I would say, in our interview process. So we want to get to know them and their most, how they are, not in a traditional hardcore interview situation.
So you use more of that kind of social experience as a way to measure or evaluate the applicant fit with your culture. Is that
we are,
sound right?
We are.
Yeah.
They'll take an assessment. We'll take that data, which allows us to see are they fitting in a model that we keep tinkering with year to year. We'll eventually get it refined, but we've tried to define our top players within job groups and what makes them, and understanding what makes them successful, you know, and then we're looking for that similar talent. It's not going to be the same because people are going to vary. But then just trying to understand and honestly get into that candidate, say a potential hire's head, what they're going to be doing day to day, day in, day out, where they're going to live. Geography still plays a big piece. I mean, we're in the western side of Oklahoma, low population area, so it's a bit of a challenge. Probably sometimes we make it more of a challenge than what it actually is.
Very possible. I think we do that here probably in the in this particular state and in this area of being outside of kind of a metro area in Manhattan. Dan, what's been your experience with that as well?
Absolutely. This is, and actually, when I was at the agency, that was one of the competitive advantages I had over other recruiters that would call on the same hiring managers. I would tell them I have a great success and closing rate on bringing people to Topeka, Manhattan, wherever your organization is, because the point is not where your location is. It's about engaging the candidate and making it a fun experience for them to learn about you and also where your company is located. Certainly, not everybody is going to be excited about every location. But if you make it more of an enjoyable, kind of fun, exciting kind of engagement with the candidate, they're more likely to learn something about your community that they may not have looked at before if you didn't engage them in this type of manner. So that's been my experience that, you know, I think it's just about, being creative in your recruiting practices and how you lead someone into the insight they need to, you know, fall in love with your job and your location and your company.
Any other questions, comments, thoughts about what Dan has presented this morning? So much easier to be comfortable with that silence when I'm standing there looking at a whole room full of students, I think, than looking out at my blank wall, wondering if you all have any additional questions. But Dan, I appreciate that you have shared, I think, some information today that helps us think about this process in a really different kind of way. maybe some ways that our some of our employer partners have already engaged some of their practices and may have established ways that they're doing this, but I think it's also some different angles that are very helpful to think about as we move forward, because I think more of our students are also looking for not only that fit of what they are able to do, but the fit of where they want to be in terms of a company culture and so forth as well. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today, and I'm going to attempt to do our handoff here again. And we will wrap things up. And hopefully you all are seeing once again my final slides here. Again, just as we wrap up, some future dates to note, as you'll hopefully see on your screen. Hope you'll go ahead and mark your calendar for our annual face-to-face meeting, which has been scheduled for Friday, July 19th, 2013. I must say it's a little bit easier for us to engage as we meet in person, but I also find this opportunity to kind of check in with you all also valuable throughout our year. You also might want to look ahead at your calendar and mark it for some of the upcoming fall events. If you are interested in recruiting students in the Manhattan area and have part-time opportunities, our annual part-time opportunities career fair will be in the first week of classes, August 29th. And then those of you that have participated in our annual all-university career fair, mark your calendar for September 24th and 25th, as those are our dates for this next year. And on-campus interviews will kick off October 1st next fall as well. Again, do hope that many of you can keep in mind the 150th celebration. And if you will be joining us on February 12th and 13th for our engineering career fair, it would be very easy for you to take in some of the kickoff events that will be happening on February 14th and thereafter. So I hopefully am going to go to my last slide here and just again remind you that I will post the updated information from our meeting this morning on our employer advisory website, and appreciate that you all have taken time to join us again for a time of sharing information and keeping in touch with what's going on with your organization and what kinds of things are going on here at K-State and Career and Employment Services. Do feel free to follow up with our staff if we can assist you as you are either on campus this spring or needing to connect with students and faculty as you move through the year ahead. We look forward to assisting you in whatever ways we can. So thanks for joining us today, and hope that you will have a good 2013. Thanks for joining us, and we can all sign off now. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks, Carrie.
You bet. Thanks for joining us.